heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Well, when we think of some of the most influential people in American history, who comes to your mind? Are they some of the names like Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, maybe Henry Ford even, the Wright brothers, Thomas Edison, Franklin Roosevelt, all kinds of names that might come to your mind and saying, okay, these people really shaped our nation and our style of life. And it's not just always politics. I mean, many times it's innovation and invention and commerce and things of that nature. So how do you think Donald Trump fits into that picture? How would he fit into headline of the most influential people in American history? Would he fit into that group? Certainly in the top 10, do you think, if you look back over the past couple of hundred years, or certainly since even our beginning of our nation, would he fit into that special group of, maybe 10 or so people? It's a good question, isn't it? But when you think about the contributions that Donald Trump has made, certainly to the presidency, to the nation, the world, how he's reshaped even things like NATO and the United Nations and world groups, and how he's put the thinking in the wars, and the whole position of America around the world has, well, to say the least, changed dramatically here. I want to talk to you today about Donald Trump and the road less traveled. And certainly the road that Trump has been on is a road less traveled, for sure. It's not a popular road. It's not a road for everybody. Truth is, there are a lot of political people and people in that kind of position that don't want to be on that road. They don't want any part of that road because, let's face it, it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of leadership skills to stand out from the crowd. And right now, we sort of know where the crowd was headed in our country. We've seen it over the past several decades. The United States was slowly but surely getting cooked in that pot, and we were becoming more and more of a globalist environment and part of that globalist union. Well, that was sort of the opposite of what Trump was promising to bring to America and why he was elected. I think a lot of people in this country got tired of America last and got tired of a lot of the upside down trade deals, got tired of gutting out manufacturing, tired of sending the energy abroad, tired of growth at 0.5% or 1% if you're lucky, tired of a lot of that stuff. And they wanted a new day. So when Trump said, what do you have to lose? And he said that initially to all the American people, then he said it to Black America as well. And I think people did the math back then and said, well, probably not a hell of a lot if we go with an established player. Taking a look back at the campaign of 2016, did anybody really expect the establishment would welcome Donald Trump with open arms? Donald Trump wasn't part of that club, was never part of the club. He was a total and complete outsider. If there ever was one, it was him. Never ran for political office of any kind. So how did we think the establishment was going to handle or welcome a Donald Trump, somebody that was totally outside the realm of the way things are normally done in Washington? He was a guy who was very plain spoken, made some pretty outlandish commitments to the American people as well, and commitments that I think a lot of people expected would go nowhere, because that's normally the mandate of an elected official, is they don't really ever follow through with all the promises they make. And I think we've become accustomed to that in this nation. We've become accustomed to the fact that, well, if they maybe accomplish half of what they say, or 25% maybe, they'll be doing a decent job. Very seldom. I can't remember anybody. I say very seldom, probably very much like ever, never. Does somebody come along and everything they say or commit to pretty well becomes the rule of order in the way they govern? It's not normal in American politics, for sure. Mostly because, as I tell you all the time, we play short-term gain here. That's how we do it here. It's a short-term program here. Whereas other people around the world go for more long-term, certainly in China, the Middle East, even in Europe. I mean, they play far more long-term than we do in America. It's a lot to do with our election system and how we operate here and the power struggle here. Donald Trump didn't play conventional politics or conventional thinking, for that matter. It's a guy that was totally outside the realm of anything that was normal about Washington. And, you know, he didn't win back there in 2016 either, based on money. It wasn't about money. I mean, he defied conventional wisdom. There were far better finance candidates. But you remember Trump, he dominated the airwaves. It was, and you know, there was a lot of talk about how the media made him because they gave him a tremendous amount of publicity. But Donald Trump could always get publicity. He was a showman. He knew how to get publicity, turn the lights on and get people's attention. And you don't get that by being part of the status quo. You get that with being exceptional and standing out, sometimes breaking a little china along the way as well, right? When you look at the 2016 campaign and you look at the cash when he was running against Clinton, of course, right? He put a lot of his own cash into that race, as well as assets and infrastructure into the business. Most unusual for a candidate ever to come. And that's like putting your money where your mouth is. So let's talk about this in the seriousness of Trump, because this gets really interesting. I mean, he donated $66 million of his own money. Okay. You remember he was using his own private jet? Remember he was flying around in the Trump jet there, right? He was using a lot of his resorts and a lot of his own properties to stage a lot of the campaign events. It's estimated that he was able to draw about $280 million from small donors that were given about $200 or less, basically. With all that said, Hillary Clinton, she outraised Donald Trump 2-1, but it still didn't matter, did it? You know, Clinton and her super PACs raised a total of $1.2 billion. And they had a very sophisticated money machine operation, fundraising, if you will. And they went after more of the big dollars, the Wall Street dollars, just like Joe Biden did. A lot of seven-figure checks, that kind of thing. They were very common to raise money over $100,000. That's where your big donors and your big sell-offs and promises that are being made to people. But that's how Washington has always worked. You know, it's pretty much it. And 2020, the Biden campaign at one point had three times more money than Trump as they were entering that crucial final phase of the campaign. I remember that. I remember all the headlines and the stories about that, like Trump doesn't have any money left kind of thing in the campaign. You might recall that. Biden's campaign ended September, in fact, the month of September, with $180 million in the bank. And Trump had about 60 million, something like that. You know, that's three times as much. There's the difference right there. The Trump campaign, they were pretty insistent that this wasn't going to be about money. It wasn't going to be about money. And they also said they had enough money. And I remember them saying that money, they had enough to fund the operation. And, you know, it was impressive because Trump was running it more or less. I thought it was very impressive as a conservative minded candidate. You can do more with less, you know, less can be more. Well, it can be. And in this case, it was. This was a totally different way to do it here. Hillary Clinton, she outspent 2-1 in 2016 and was still unable to buy the presidency, very clearly. And Biden, they had a lot of money in the Democrat machine in 2020 as well. So President Trump was able to do it in very uncharacteristic style and in an unprecedented way with little or no money by also using a lot of his own and really making a move to do something that was never done before and have a total outsider come in and take this over. Now, today in the program, I want to talk to you about several things about this road less traveled, we call it, okay? And a little bit later in the program, I have a pretty extensive audio piece I want to play for you with Donald Trump. It's very impressive. And you'll hear from the man himself and a lot of the things he has said over the years. Well, the road less traveled was a road that Donald Trump chose from the very beginning. I want to talk to you today about the threat that is out there, the establishment, the truth, racism, faith, human trafficking, Donald Trump's legacy, the sands of history, and what about the most influential people in American history? Let's talk about all that today in this road less traveled with Donald Trump. What I want to do is break this down into little chapters, if you will, and tell a bigger story. But before we do that, I have a a pretty extensive audio file I want to play for you with Donald Trump's voice himself. This to me was well done. It's a montage of, if you will, back all the way back to Inauguration Day, a forward of things that President Trump has said that are striking. And it's got a very emotional feel to it. This is really a well done piece. I had seen it and it was sent to me by somebody, and it was actually put together the compilation of this from a Justin Bellucci and This Road Less Traveled. So let's do this. I want you to listen to this. This is really a good piece. Listen to the words he's using, and we're gonna dissect this after the fact, and we're gonna break this down and really talk about The Road Less Traveled and what it meant. But I think it's really something to hear. This piece here. Let's give it a listen.
Remember this: nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. Following your convictions means you must be willing to face criticism from those who lack the same courage to do what is right, and they know what is right, but they don't have the courage or the guts or the stamina to take it and to do it. It's called The Road Less Traveled. What imprint will you leave in the sands of history? What will future Americans say we did in our brief time right here on Earth? Administration is 100% committed to eradicating human trafficking from the earth. This form of modern-day slavery here in the United States and all around the world. We are dismantling the criminal organizations that make large-scale human trafficking possible. We will not rest until we've stopped every last human trafficker and liberated every last survivor. About replacing a failed and corrupt political establishment with a new government controlled by you, the American people. There is nothing the political establishment will not do, no lie that they won't tell, to hold their prestige and power at your expense. The Washington establishment and the financial and media corporations that fund it exist for only one reason: to protect and enrich itself.
Someday sons and daughters will rise up and fight.
too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost. Whether we are black or brown or white, we all bleed the same red blood of patriots. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will be protected by God. Did we challenge accepted wisdom and take on established systems? I think I did, but we all did, and we're all doing it. Or did we just go along with convention, swim downstream so easily with the current, and just give in because it was the easy way, it was the traditional way, or it was the accepted way? I know that each of you will be a warrior for the truth, will be a warrior for our country and for your family. And as long as America remains true to its values, loyal to its citizens, and devoted to its creator, then our best days are yet to come. I can promise you that.
I think as you listen to that compilation there, it tells a story. It tells a story of who Donald Trump is, but also that he understood the stakes and what they were. And this was never going to be easy. We knew that. I said that to you up front. It was never going to be easy. And he knew that going in. But I think it is interesting to look at all of it. Let's talk about the threat first. So Trump says, and I quote, "Our movement is about replacing a failed and corrupt political establishment where the new government is controlled by you, the American people." Now, you remember he said that at the inauguration. "There is nothing the political establishment will not do, no lie that they won't tell to hold their prestige and power at your expense. The Washington establishment and the financial and media corporations that fund it exist for only one reason: to protect and enrich themselves. For too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost." Now, that's a pretty big threat right there that he puts out there, talking about the Washington establishment. We talk about the establishment a lot. We talk about the deep state. But as he says right here, the financial and media corporations that fund it exist for one reason: to protect and enrich themselves. You really can't argue that. When you look at what's going on with the media and how they've insulted the entire American populace and what's taken place, and we've been talking about in past days, understanding what's taken place in the media in this country and how outrageous it is, how they've abandoned the free press and freedom of speech and really have abandoned American principles in our Constitution. And they seem to have partnered with a way out their agenda. And more than that, they've held back the truth to the point that they're not even covering the stories that matter. And then the social media people hop in and they've totally twisted the entire thing. And the threat was always there. The political establishment, they were threatened by Donald Trump because of the prestige and the power that Trump talks about here. And so I think that's pretty clear as you look at the threat, that the threat is there and it's understood. The establishment, Trump says, and I quote, "Did we challenge accepted wisdom and take on established systems? Or did we just go along with conventional thinking, swim downstream so easily with the current, and just give in? Because it was the easy way, it was the traditional way, or it was the accepted way. And as long as America remains true to its values, loyal to its citizens, and devoted to its creator, our best days are yet to come. I can promise you that." Now, that is right there tells me, I mean, that's strong. He's talking about the establishment and the fact that, we shouldn't just accept the system or the wisdom they're throwing out there. Better way to say it, conventional thinking. And then the old art chain of you just go along to get along, you go along to get, which is really part and parcel of what's happening with the establishment right now. there are so many people caught up in this. They're just going along to get along, and they're not willing to stand out. And I think that's true of a lot of Republicans as well in the political system. It's just been pointed out to me every day now. So many, where are their voices? You know, senators, congressmen, where are some of their voices? What are they doing here? Why aren't they standing up for truth? They have to know what's going on. And there are so many lessons to get out of that, and things that you can apply that to so many things that have happened through COVID, through the unrest, through the election, through even the faux impeachment last year, through the whole Russia collusion. There are so many chapters I'm suggesting that tell that story, where the establishment did not, they went along to get along. They become part of the apparatus. It really is about swimming downstream it that way. Trump is exactly right. It's what it's all about. And so I think he puts it out there really, really well. And I think the scary part is when he says, as long as America remains true to its values. But have we done that, people? Are we remaining true to our values? Are we remaining true to our education system, our constitution? Are we remaining true to the way we feel, the way we act, the way we think, the way we should be, the way we're raising our families, the way that so many are putting up with the unrest and the demonizing, the demoralization of our cities across our country, the property damage, the vandalism, the war on America's police unit, all of that that's taken place, the bad information and the hype with all the COVID stuff. There are so many lessons here and so many things. So I think when Trump says, if we're loyal, if America is loyal to its citizens and devoted to its creator, God Almighty, well, our best days are yet to come. And the president, Donald Trump, promised that. But it's a promise he's not going to be able to fulfill, sadly, without the help of the American people. This fight has to fall right onto the American people. This is not about one man. Donald Trump can't fix all that. So he's right when he says, if America remains true to the values, the citizens, and devoted to our creator, well, the sky's the limit then. There's a lot of future ahead. But if we don't do that, all bets are off. That's where we find ourselves right now at this pivotal moment and intersection of history here. I think when I feel that establishment and I see what Trump was, that he was, as I stated up front, he was never going to be, he wasn't about conventional politics or conventional thinking. And, he was never going to be part of that club. He just wasn't there. So then you have a full-on assault and they just come after him. That's what's happened. There's been a full-on, with all the media, with all the political operatives, with all the systems, statewide and federal-wise. And that's why this thing has been such a battle right into the 2020 race, when they've done everything they possibly can do to tarnish Trump and try to get him out of office. So beyond that, the truth. President Trump says, and I quote, "I know that each of you will be a warrior for the truth, will be a warrior for our country and your family." That's a question and a point that everybody needs to be asking themselves. Are we being warriors for the truth? Are we being warriors for America, for this beautiful country, for our families, for our friends, for our associates, our businesses? Are we doing that? And are we reaching to those other people? Because the division in this country is so apparent and so clear. Everybody knows it. And there are people who just said to me the other day, smart people said, we'll never be united in this nation. They've seen too much. They know too much with what took place with this election system and the fraud and what took place on a major level. And they don't believe there's any way to unite America based on that. It gives you a lot of food for thought, obviously, when it comes to that truth. But it is a question we should all ask ourselves as a people right now, you see. And, with a lot of these words that you, when you hear the president talk in that audio piece, he talks about racism and faith. This is a man, again, they've done their damnedest to brand as a racist and certainly a xenophobe for sure, but an outright racist as well. And which is, again, if you look at the telltale signs, it's the go-to argument they use on a regular, consistent basis. But when a president says for no reason, And it's in his talking points. And it wasn't like he was asked some trick question when he came up with this. But I'll read you his words again. You just heard him say them when he says, whether we are black or brown or white, we all bleed the same red blood of patriots. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable. There should be no fear. We are protected and we'll be protected by God. That's some strong words, my friends. And those are not the words of a racist. And they're not the words of an evil person as well that has no faith. So these accusations and claims that he is a faithless, racist, xenophobe are inaccurate. I mean, the words and the actions of this man do not match the rhetoric that is being promoted by the mass media and the operatives in the political circles in Washington. They simply do not match. There's nothing you can convince me otherwise, you see. And the fact, when you look at all the other things he talked about, which you just heard in his talk, like human trafficking is another, for instance. You know, human trafficking is always something that bothered me. It's always something that's tormented me. Why this happens in the world, let alone in our country. You know, why does it happen in the way and the gravity and the level that it does? It just shouldn't be that way. We should be able to seek out the evil in our planet and do something about it. And it's always been something that has haunted me, I guess. Be a better way to say that, probably. It's that edge, you know, when something really sets you off. And, you know, I've seen the stories. I've read the stories. I've done the research. I've seen the different things that go on. You've seen some of the documentaries and others that portray human trafficking. And even some of the movies. It's not pretty. And then to think that could happen in your family with somebody or in, you know, your immediate life, but even not another fellow human being should not have to live that way or go through such a thing, you know? So the president said, and I quote, he said, my administration is 100% committed to eradicating human trafficking from the earth. That's a tall order right there. This form of modern day slavery here in the United States and all around the world, he says, we are dismantling the criminal organizations that make large scale human trafficking possible. We will not stop until we stop every last human trafficker and liberated every last survivor. You know, that spoke to me. And I think about the liberation fact about that when he says every last survivor. And that is the power of human life and why it's so special, why it's so important. And why no human being should suffer under such conditions of what human trafficking is. It saddens me in great ways that the human race has sunk to this kind of a level. But again, the human race has been violated in ways that we can only imagine from evil forces. They have pushed and propagated and perpetrated their evil program and policies into a percentage of the population out there. And sometimes it's people you least suspect it with as well. I mean, they almost like they have a double life almost, but you wonder sometimes and you wonder how that even exists and why, how another human being could do such a thing to another person, another human being with no, and that this is the work obviously that psychologists would be better served to talk about than I, but from a human standpoint, it's always been concerning to me how that happens. And I always think and wonder what's in their makeup. What kind of people are these? Or they're obviously inhumane, but you know, how do they even muster the courage to do such evil? It really bends the mind, I think, to put that in any kind of perspective, to think that that really is happening. And that's something I would like to make a dent with myself in my own life and be part of something truly unique. And to help forces out there curb that and do what President Trump said here, that we will not stop until we stop every last human trafficker and liberate it. Boy, that would be a day, I'll tell you, man. If we could get to that day, sign me up. I mean, if we could dismantle the criminal organizations in this country and the large-scale human trafficking, wow. Sign me up. Donald Trump, sign me up, man. I'll be there with you. But that's not the sign of somebody that has no care or factor of human life. That's not somebody that is a racist, evil person that would just do whatever. So they've obviously depicted Donald Trump as a different kind of person than what is shown with his words, and more so his actions. His words and his actions don't match what they have tried to paint the picture with. You know, their picture is failing, basically, you know. So it's all very surreal when you step back and you look at this. I want to talk about the legacy and the sands of history next, and Donald Trump. I think this road less travel is fascinating to me. And I was really taken aback by this very striking audio piece I played for you a little bit earlier on the road less traveled here. We'll pause just a moment here on The Voice of a Nation.
Listen to Malcolm, The Voice of a Nation on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
All the war on America's cities and claims of racism in the ranks of law enforcement have spirited a renewed debate on racial equality. It was Alexis de Tocqueville who reminded us Americans are so enamored of equality, they would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. To which I say, be warned of the shiny object, America. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, it's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
We are talking about Donald Trump and the road less traveled. It's a fascinating audio clip I played for you up front of the program. If you missed that, you want to go back and hear that later. It is some strong stuff. And you hear it from Trump's words himself. You hear from his own message, which I think is always important to hear from the guy himself, the man himself, and not just mean what I think. But and you know, these things that have said, it's a compilation. So it's not something that was put together for one purpose or for today's purpose or any of that. But it's a telltale sign to me of who the man is and what his mission is. And, you know, in the fight of good and evil, people, I believe Donald Trump is a man of good. I think he's here for good. I don't see any evil intent whatsoever that has come from this man or his time in Washington. The time we all have is to make a difference in the world. Donald Trump talks about that and encourages us to get involved in the system, to get involved in our own lives, to get involved in our country and the world. And that's vitally important. I want to talk about the legacy a moment here. Donald Trump says this, and I quote, "Nothing worth doing ever, ever, ever came easy. Following your convictions means you must be willing to face criticism from those who lack the same courage to do what is right. And they know what is right, but they don't have the courage or the guts or the stamina to take it and to do it. It's called the road less traveled." And those were some big words there from Donald Trump that we're speaking about here. When he speaks about having the courage or the guts, the conviction, the stamina to step forth. Listen, it's always difficult to step out from the pack. And we learned this as kids. You know, those that are going to stand a little tall. It's also about leadership and followers. But it's about willing to take a stand for what's right. It's about doing these things as a young person. It's the growth of who we are. We learn and we grow. It's all of these things that, you know, we that make us up as people. But to be able to be willing to face criticism, you know, Trump has faced a lot of criticism. And they've poked at him. I mean, you think about how exposed, how much we've talked about this man, how much the media has discussed this. I mean, every factor of his life has been put under a microscope, you see. And when you think about that, you think about what you're willing to go through to be in public office. It's pretty sick, isn't it? In other words, for you out there, your conviction, so, you know, I really want to run for whatever, congressperson or senator or president or whatever, you know, something local, a mayor, a, you know, county commissioner, city commissioner, you know, any of these things, you have to make the conviction yourself, and then you go and you do it and you execute it, you know, but then your life at a moment's notice can be put under a microscope and you could be called out on things you did 10 years ago. We said, well, you know, I seen that such and such you said on social media back 5 years ago. I heard you such and such, you were fired from your job or you filed bankruptcy or you did something at some point that made you a less than perfect person. And that's how sick about our whole media and political world, because we ridicule smart, intelligent people and we stop them from running for office often, which is really why a lot of smart people don't run. And the whole system is reversed and sick, because we throw at them things and there is no perfection. And we really shouldn't be looking for perfect people for high office. That's not what we're looking for here. We're looking for certain qualities for sure, but not that everybody was somebody or anybody was perfect. That doesn't exist, people. There is no perfect people. It's long gone. And that's part of the problem we're having here right now. So the legacy and building a legacy and what will Trump's legacy be, when we talk about the courage, the guts, the stamina, and the road less traveled, you know, we've got to follow our convictions. He's got to follow his convictions as a guy. We all have to do that same thing. But having the courage to stand out and stand for leadership is a beautiful thing. It's a special set of circumstances that position you accordingly, you see. Then he also talks about the sands of history. You know, what imprint will you leave in the sands of history? What will future Americans say we did in our brief time right here on Earth? Well, I got to tell you, that really stopped me in my tracks, as you can imagine. What will future Americans say we did in our brief time right here on Earth? Now, I speak to you all the time about historical standards. You know, jumping ahead 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, looking back, what do they say about this moment in time? You know, what's the juice? Where does the rubber hit the road? What's the traction at the moment? And as I mentioned in the past days, the media is going to be one of those highlights, the fact that they failed us in bigger ways that we don't even realize right now. It's unimaginable what took place. Even beyond the scope of the COVID product and the scam that that has become, but the election scandal and the scam that that has become, and all of the other scandals over the last 4 years. And when you think back to this chapter in these 4 years, you think, okay, Donald Trump was here in the ahead as they look back and they're going to say, well, what was it? And the fact of how the media sold out America, how they sold out Americans, that's probably going to be the biggest story. And how the truth didn't get out there. The real sense of information never got out there. So we were dealing with bad information, faux information. It was incorrect. It was wrong. When we did get information, the other time they just never bought the story up. They just let it go entirely. And they did it on some internal, personal, political agenda and convictions they had themselves, whether it's, well, we don't want this Hunter Biden story to get out because it's going to do this, whether we don't want the proper information to get out for COVID because it's going to do this, whether we, there are so many things that play to that. Where you can't make, it's no heads or tails as to why that's being covered that way or why people feel that way, you see. So I think, you know, when we look back, our future ancestors look back, our future people look back, they're going to see that it was the lack of truth in the media. It was the agenda they had more so, the critical, hypocritical agenda that they put forth that sold America out. And it's sad. That's what the sands of history are going to show. But then the broader question then becomes, what imprint will each of us leave in the sands of history? Now, I do think about that quite a bit, what my legacy will be. What do I want? What kind of a mark do I want to leave on the earth, on the planet here, with people, with this life? As if I'm not here anymore, move on. What kind of a legacy do I want? What kind of a legacy do you want? You've given it some thought. And what kind of a difference can we all make in the world? Well, Donald Trump has certainly taken that on. He's given that some thought. Others have as well. I think we should do the same. So I look at that quite a bit, the legacy factor. Am I doing the right things? How can I do it better? How do we drive a bigger message? What's our ultimate goal? You know, our ultimate goal is to empower people, is to empower people to live the fullest life they can. Is by doing that, by arming them with facts and data and real information, real-time stuff. And having them make decisions that matter, helping them understand that they can be part of a bigger picture, that they can have a piece of that bigger picture, an imprint in it, part of the bigger story that's being told. Everybody can have a part of that. And that's beautifully said, really, you know. So I think the sense of history, the imprint that will be left is going to be up to each of us. And I think Trump carried that out so well in that montage you see of all the things that he has said. You know, it's good when you hear from the person itself and then you don't have to guess that I think they said this or I think they said that, or maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But when you line up all of that story in a connected fashion, as we just played, it's pretty incredible that you have a man that came along in history at the time that Donald Trump did, that was willing to put it all on the line. Now, the question is, do we have someone else after him? Once we get through whatever's going to happen with the 2020 race, and then you have to think of the future moving on from there. Do we have, you see what I mean? You know, where are we at exactly? How could we we have other people that are going to be other leaders? Truth be told, is there another type of Donald Trump? I mean, can they pull this out somehow? Can we somehow find another one like that? It's kind of hard to say. I think everybody would agree with me when I say there's probably another Donald Trump on the planet. And it's supposed to be that way. We're all unique. We're all different characters and all unique. But it's not to say we're looking for somebody just like that, but we're looking for somebody who has conviction, somebody who will take a stand, somebody who will not sell out, be part of the establishment. Somebody will do right by people, by human beings, and by Americans. And that would be honored to be the president. That's more so what we're looking for, somebody with that stature that will put the people before the politics, will commit to the things they're saying and follow it through with action. That's a special breed. If we're lucky to hit lightning striking again right after this, well, that's going to be divine intervention at that point. And that's going to be a sign that we are headed in some pretty remarkable places. It's not to say we're not going to have challenges along the way, and we're going to be fraught with problems from here, because we will. We are, and we will. Things will happen. It's not a perfect world. It's not supposed to be. Not a perfect country, and we're not perfect either. But it's not about perfection, people. It's about having the honorability to do the right thing, to step out for mankind and for your own self and your own family and what have you. When we talk about the most influential people in American history, who are some of the most interesting people that come to your mind? And we'll talk about that next. You know, there was a famous historian that noted that America was born in the country and moved to the city. And it's explained this way. In the pre-Revolutionary War period, more than 90% of colonial Americans lived as, well, farmers, right, off the land. Probably most of them never traveled probably a few miles or so, certainly not outside of their town, from the place of their birth. They stayed pretty close there, you know. There we go. Centuries later, in the United States is an industrial giant now. And we're an urban nation. We have all these urban markets that are hurting badly right now. We're bleeding our urban markets right now. They're under siege, and we're losing that battle right this moment here. Yeah, for a lot of reasons. socialism is one, but a lot of it's just bad leadership, bad management, and a lot of it's bad politics and how they're being handled, for sure. Yeah. But within that urban nation, only about 2% are still living on farms. Most people are, we're in, well, urban and suburban markets, really, close by to where the cities are, kind of thing. That's the way the populace always is, if you look around the country. And it's sort of a, you know, it permeates from there. It's like an echo, echoes from the center of the city outwards to suburban, then rural, and then super rural, desolate almost, you know. It was a very simple lifestyle in the beginning of America. We've changed a lot since then. Now we enjoy, you know, let's face it, all kinds of transportation systems. Some people don't even have a car anymore because they use the public transportation system if you're in big cities and things of that nature. Although that's all been hit very hard from COVID as well. And the lockdowns that have pursued, of course, it's been a pain factor for all of that. And when you deal with communications or modern communications and changing our world and, you know, and then the advanced services that we that'll provide more with city life, you know, even basic medical services, things of that nature. The quality of life in America has advanced enormously, for sure. I mean, it's over the last 100 years, by golly, it's no comparison as to what's taking place here. Thinking of how they lived before then, you know. It was an interesting book. I'd come along, an interesting message, The 100. It's a ranking of the most influential people in American history. It's by an author, Ronald Allen Goldberg, PhD. And he lists 100, but even the top 10, I want to share with you. When you think about Donald Trump and how he fits into the big picture, right? We're dealing with the top 10, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Polk, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, the Wright brothers, Franklin D. Roosevelt, John Marshall. So that's just the top 10. He's got a book out there, Top 100, Ronald Allen Goldberg, PhD, Dr. Goldberg. It's called The 100, a ranking of the most influential people in American history. It's a great read. And that can be gotten right through AmericanPressPublishers.com, by the way. Give that to you now if you want to look it up. It's not available, I noticed, on Amazon. I went to Amazon. It was like crazy money. They said, you know, sometimes you go there, they say they got like one or two copies, like $700 or something. But I noticed on a site it's available for just a few dollars or whatever. So the book is clearly still available there at AmericanPressPublishers.com. It looks to be an interesting read. I just read to you the top 10. But when you think about those names and you think about how they shaped American life, American culture, and our society as a whole, and they did. I mean, if you think of some of the decisions that Abraham Lincoln made back in the 1860s, would have totally changed the landscape and certainly would have changed slavery, but would have changed more than that, would have changed our union and how the Republic handled things and what we were back in the 60s, would have changed everything with the Civil War. So he was a consequential player here at a consequential moment in time. And you can come right through this list and say that about every one of them, whether it's even on the other side of it, the Wright brothers or Thomas Edison, you know, Henry Ford, people like that. Not exactly politicians specifically, but more with innovation and inspiration and things of that nature. Consequential players in the century, for sure. And really in the ranking of our American history, more so. So it's interesting to look at that. And I started to look at the whole list of 100 and I find it fascinating. And I started thinking in the terms of Donald Trump, how does he fit into that as the most influential person in American history? And I would make the statement of this. Looking at my guess right now, and I'll just take it here in 2020, as we come into 2021, I'll make this statement. Looking at, I read to you the top 10 list, but even looking at the top 100 list, without a doubt, he fits into the top 100. But I think there's a big argument to make that he fits into the top 10. Now, that's saying something, people. When I just give you that, now I know that sounds like a brazen statement. I say, like, why are you saying that, right? And I'm telling you the truth. I mean, really. But when you look at the names of people like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, right? The framers, you look at the founders here, Madison, right? Think about Henry Ford. I mean, come on. The whole automobile, Edison, the Wright brothers, you know, Roosevelt, Marshall, Supreme Court Justice. You look at those top 10, you say, wow, what an influence they had on American culture and history. Sure. But I would argue the fact of this. Donald Trump if he wasn't here at this era? How important, this is the way we're talking about the road less traveled. So what kind of an input and impact is Trump having, has he had on society, and what more will he have? Well, I'm going to say to you right now, it's consequential. He's a consequential man, consequential president, consequential public figure in our history, for sure. And I would argue back, he would fit into the top 10 in my world. Absolutely. Now, I don't know who drops out of that list of 10 to put him in the top 10. Again, the book is a top 100. But in my world, he fits in there because the kind of work that Trump is, you know, again, you look at even the Supreme Court just this week here, standing up for religious liberty by telling Governor Cuomo in New York, who's a, really a mad scientist of a governor, totally out of control, and you know, that you can't lock religious liberty down in our nation. You can't tell people they can't go to church and think you're doing a good thing. You can't control how people live, breathe, think, act. And you know, the Supreme Court, because of Trump's picks again, absolutely, because of Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett now, that was why that vote, and they stood for the Constitution. And John Roberts went the other way. He went, you know, went completely the other way. And as he's done so often before, and he sold out again, our Constitution, because listen, you can't overrule what the Constitution provides religious liberty to us. It doesn't say you don't get religious liberty if there is a virus. Religious liberty's out the window. You don't get it anymore. You don't get to say that. People have to know enough to come out of the rain, and they have to make decisions for themselves. You don't get the opportunity to say that, Mr. Supreme or Miss Supreme Court Justice or Mr. Governor or Miss whoever, you or President, whatever it is. You don't get the right to say that. So without a doubt, the right decision was made by the Supreme Court. Well, that Supreme Court wouldn't have made that decision 6 months early without Amy Coney Barrett on the court. It's a losing proposition. With Ginsburg here, she clearly would have voted against the whole thing, and she would have allowed for the striking of religious liberty. She would have allowed Cuomo to have his way, and that would have been the rule. How do I know that? Because the other states, those other cases that came up prior to this happening, were all shut down by the Supreme Court and all went more to the liberal doctrine of governors and mayors being able to tell you what to do, you see? So that's why that's all backwards and why this is so important. So with that one case in the argument of religious liberty, which ties again to the Supreme Court, which ties to Donald Trump and his commitment to get judges in there that would speak truth to power all day long, and would back up the Constitution. Now, whether you're a conservative or liberal or Republican or Democrat or whatever, that's a beautiful thing, people. That has to speak volumes to you. How can it not? That's a tall order, what Trump did there. That's a consequential position, because right now our Constitution is being obliterated. And if we don't start to stand for some level of truth, if we don't get the Supreme Court, then the Supreme Court has no backbone, and we are going down fast. You can forget the Constitution. You forget any usefulness or any help at all from the Supreme Court. So there is a glimmer of hope based on that. And all of that, you have to thank Donald John Trump. That's who did it. And that's a fact. And everybody, liberals should also want to support the Constitution. Liberal policies don't mean if you're a crackpot that wants socialism or communism in the country. Let's be clear. That doesn't mean that. That's not a definition that should say that. And if it's been branded that way, it's wrong, because there are a lot of Democrats and there are a lot of independents, a lot of moderates, a lot of left of center people that absolutely passionately love their country, absolutely believe in the Constitution. And they are out there and they exist. And a lot of these people voted for Trump in the first election and the second one as well. So let that be told. And that's why I think that when we argue the point, is Trump really, is he one of the most influential people in American history? Yeah, I believe he belongs in the top 10. I'm not going to say where it is in the top 10. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it doesn't matter. But he belongs there. So, and again, the book itself, the top 100, I get it. But it's interesting to look at our history that way. And there are a series of books that have been written about this topic, which spotlight, if you will, people who have made a mark, created a legacy. We're talking about a legacy now. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, we all should have a legacy. I want my legacy to be awesome. I want your legacy to be awesome for you. And I hope you want it more so than I, because you've got to want it. It's up to each of us to want our own, the empowerment of what we do in this life, and our own legacy is totally up to us, completely. But Donald John Trump has been one of the most influential presidents in our lifetimes, no matter what. And when you look at why the threat to the establishment has been clear, it should be very obvious to each of you as to why they have tried everything and then some, including outright scandal and fraud and breaking the law, and have done other things that are unsightly, unruly, and uncharacteristic of America. And they've done it. And it seems like now they're doing things in daylight, things we would never have expected, and they're being done. So right now, America is going to have its moment of truth. We're going to have that moment to come together to really, and there's going to be some moments ahead here. There's going to be some tests, so telltale tests and signs that are going to take place here just ahead that are going to tell the story, the American story. Yeah, there's a lot to play out in the next many weeks as we get through this count in the vote still in some legitimate fashion, and what happens through this election cycle and where the cards fall and how the Supreme Court rules and what is in place right now. It's pretty mind-boggling how all this has happened. And it's more mind-boggling that the president, that Donald Trump, was able to instill three more originalist thinkers on the Supreme Court, people who love America but love the Constitution and love what this nation stands for. And my fellow Americans, that's a beautiful thing. That in itself is worth it. But when you look at all the consequential things Donald John Trump has put his hands on in this nation, it's a humongous list and opportunity. And it's not something to make light of. It is something to celebrate. And there's still a lot more to talk about and do on that level. But there's a road and a reason here as to why Donald Trump has been on the road less traveled. He's a very unique man for unique times, a unique time in our world, in our chapter, as our story is still being written. It's still being put out in the light of day. And Donald Trump is a force in all of that. One man again, but with the power that we the people bestow on him to be able to control the forces. And that's what makes music in our great nation. That's the power of the vote when it's legit. But it's the power of our beautiful republic here and all that America stands for. Donald John Trump, the road less traveled. I like it. And we hear the words and the beautiful part of this from Donald Trump himself, and it should give you inspiration that this man is here for a reason. Now let you and I ask ourselves, are we here for a reason? And are we willing to do our part for this great nation and for our lives? It's a question you need to be asking yourself. I'll ask myself as well. Thank you, my fellow Americans, for being with me on the mission. It's time to get involved and get loved.